This is the Visual Developers Podcast with your hosts, Lacey Kessler, Matt Varghese, and Ben Parker. Interviews, no-code reviews, tutorials, and more, we're here to talk about all things no-code.
Hey, everybody. Ben here with Visual Dev FM. We're back with another episode, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Lacey and Matt.
Heyo.
We can't beep out our cuss words on this one. If you all can't tell, we're using different recording software, so that is why I can't cuss. Ben has explicitly told me I'm not allowed to.
Or he's going to do all the editing.
Yeah, I don't want to go back in and add the beeps. You know, that's a lot of work. I've got things to do.
This episode's got me riled up, though. We'll see if I end up guessing.
So with this episode, if you're listening, I may already be marked explicit. You may have seen it in your in your podcast listing. But today we're talking about when code gatekeeps no code. So gatekeeping in the old maker community, there's been quite a bit of that lately. And honestly, this is where I would really like to cuss too. So like, we'll just skip that, but we're going to get there. We're going to talk about gatekeeping in this community, what it looks like, and share some of our takes on that. So stay tuned. But before we get there, as always, we're going to start with what's new in no code and our no code roundup. So let's dive in. Up first, is this a surprise? Up first, Webflow launched focus mode in the style panel. And I got to tell you, I really, really love this. This is such a great feature. I don't know if either of you have got to play with it yet, but essentially when you turn on focus mode, you can only have like one panel open at a time in the one section open at a time in the style panel. So if you close one or open one, it closes what was already open. It lets you not have to look at all of those things in the style panel. As for some people, that's overload, like just all of the different panels, or sometimes it's hard to find and focus exactly on what they're working on. So love this feature. I think it's really cool. Really
excited. One of the subtle benefits of this is when you're trying to screen share with someone like new in Webflow and you're like, hey, go to this panel. And they're just like, where do I find this? And they're like scrolling through the million options. And it's like being able, like it's probably like an unintended, like second order benefit, but like, this is a total win from like us as an agency, because we can tell everyone just turn focus mode on. We'll tell you which one to toggle down. So yeah, I love these features and these polish elements.
It's really cool. It's also great. Like we all have that one friend who won't let go of the MacBook Air from 7 years ago. And they're like, no, it's going to last a little longer. But they have that really tiny screen and, you know, there's just very little real estate there. So it kind of makes navigating smaller screens a whole lot easier. And if I just offended people who are using 7-year-old MacBook Airs, I'm sorry. I was one of those people. So no hate, no hate. Also, the Webflow community update was today. So lots of buzz about that as that happened live. It was pretty fun. I actually didn't get to watch all of it, which is funny. I had things going and didn't get to keep up with everything. But a lot of different things discussed. We have some link in the show notes to people who tweeted slides out of this. And it was really cool to see this come back and Webflow doing these quarterly updates with the community. It's pretty nice.
We have to share some of them. I feel like the most notable ones, and Ben probably will not chime in, but the most notable ones to me were, okay. The most notable ones to me, excuse you, Lacey, were collaboration. Better collaboration is incoming. And then user systems as well, like native, essentially imagine member stack being, or member space, or any of these membership tools being integrated directly into your no code platform. And so and also for Ben's benefit, it looks like they're putting a huge emphasis on customer support in the upcoming quarters. So yeah, what a crazy quarterly update. I was so pumped to be there, and you should have seen, I don't know if you're there for the part where they announced collaboration, chat just went wild. They couldn't focus for a second. They're just like, okay, I see that chat's exploding right now as we show this new collaboration update. So, yeah, man, super exciting. Lacey, any thoughts, or are you just going to sigh?
Well, you know, I just feel like we are doing PR for Webflow. And I should also say my voice is terrible.
Lacey,
right now.
Put down the cigarettes.
I know.
Down the cigarettes.
One of the day.
I'm dealing with allergies from hell.
Allergies.
Allergies. She went from vaping to smoking actual cigarettes, and this is what happens.
When you get your jewels taken away. I'm actually really sad that I missed this because I had wanted to watch it and then just didn't put it on my calendar. So I'm really excited about these new things coming out, even though admittedly I haven't touched Webflow in months, but I'm very excited about it. I'm still paying though, so I still count.
She's going to cancel that and put that money into her cigarette fund.
Buying stock in Marlboro. Okay, here we go.
I'm going to be the new influencer for Camel.
That's right. 3 out of 5 doctors recommend Camel, right? Something like that. Great. Also, Webflow related, John Saunders, I think this is just no code related, honestly, had a great tweet thread where he talked about how Webflow changed his entire design business and what it looked like as it started, by discovering no code, like we all have probably in different ways, where you find a video and you're like, whoa, what is this magic? And then you dive into these things and you start learning more and more about the ecosystem, and you pick up freebies or templates and you dive in. And he talks about how he went from, not really being in the no code space at all to it's a key part of his business, and how, that he basically Webflow has played such a huge part in changing and transforming his business. So pretty cool. I thought this tweet thread was great, and I think this would apply to any no code tool, not just Webflow. So definitely worth checking out and taking a look at.
Hang on. Oh, wait, no, go to the next one, then we'll bring it up. Go ahead.
Oh, gosh. We're doing it live. I don't know what's happening, but things are happening. Okay, so lots of laughing. Here we go. Next one, the Rise of the No-Code Economy panel was awesome, right? Lacey, you want to talk about the panel? You were part of that?
Yeah.
And we have a link in the show notes where you can go get the report on it. They're losing it. I haven't seen what they're talking about yet. So I'm honestly a little anxious and worried about what they're about to bring up.
You have to open Slack right now. I'm going to tweet it because I'm sure they'll fix it. But Ben, I see as the CEO of 80/20, what is your next move? Because you are the new CEO here.
Well, I'm firing this guy named Matt Varghese.
Okay, rightfully so. He sucks.
He's had a free ride for too long. And...
Oh my gosh.
Link in the show notes. This is we're talking about this report. I did have Lacey, you can talk about the panel here in just a second. I did have a bone to pick though, because I'm both of you are quoted in this report. I'm what am I? Do I not get a mention here anymore? I've been officially made CEO of 80/20.
That's so true.
I don't feel bad anymore. I don't feel bad at all.
This is what's wrong with tech, okay? You're coming for my job.
So if you're totally lost as what's happening right now, there was a no-code panel yesterday, and we were about to talk about it, and I clicked on the link in the show notes that you can find below, and I scrolled down to the bottom and it said insights from no code experts. And I was like, oh, okay, obviously looking for myself. And then I'm going through
obviously looking for myself.
And then I'm going through it and I see that it says, Matt Varghese, CEO of 80/20. And it's got Ben's picture in Matt's place. And I just find that hysterical that on so many levels, this is funny.
Matt's laughing. So obviously he's not super offended, but it's great. You're muted, Matt. Like, we can't hear what you're saying. So
sorry, I'm over here laughing still. I'm not offended at all. I think this is hilarious, but I'm tweeting this right now. I'm saying Matt Varghese has become a lot wider.
This is great. Oh,
so, well, that whole 75 hard challenge really took him in a whole new direction.
I know. Don't even recognize him anymore.
Plus, I'm like twice as tall as Matt. So, Matt, you got a lot taller. Like,
I got a big beard cool. now.
You can dunk a basketball now. So there you got that
go.
Going for you.
There we go.
So, Lacey, of that aside, okay. How was the panel? Tell us a little bit about it.
The panel went so well. It was so good. I mean, like, okay. I know, you know, we had Vlad and we had Chris from Formstack and then Emmanuel from Bubble. And, their insight was really great. And obviously, anytime I get to hang out with Vlad is a good time. You know, like I was so happy to see him there and chat with him. And so, the other CEOs were awesome in there and their thoughts and insight. And I thought it was really, really good.
As long as Vlad's not making dad jokes. Right.
Like, I don't think he made a single one, actually, the whole time.
I'm not going to believe that.
I know. Maybe he was a little nervous or something. I don't know. But no, it was a good time. So if you haven't listened to it, we'll put the link below in the show notes.
Link in the show notes. Go check it out. So Rise of the No-Code Economy panel, that's pretty cool. Congrats, Lacey, for being a part of that. That's really awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I was honored to. Yeah.
That's so cool. So some Coda news. This is one of my favorite tools of all time. If you've listened to this podcast at all, you know that I will preach the gospel of Coda every chance I get. And so Coda now has a couple of new features that I think are really cool. First, they have a color scale in conditional formatting. So you could conditional format like if a number is greater than this, whatever, but now you can automatically scale it. So it will go from like green to red, depending on, you know, where a number is at, positive, negative. And then they also launched custom templates. So they've had templates for a while, but now like in your workspace, you can create your own templates and save them for other people to use in your workspace, or you can have your own private templates. So if you've got a workflow that you use all the time or a doc that you use all the time, if you want to quickly access that and not have to set it up over and over again or duplicate a file, you can just make it a template. You can use a slash command or drag and drop from the panel on the right-hand side. So this is really, really cool. And if you haven't checked it out, link in the show notes for both of these. I see Matt devilishly laughing, and so I'm scared of what what's coming.
No, nothing. I just tweeted it. It took me a while.
Oh, okay. Tweeted the picture. Yeah. Okay. Matt hit the tweet button, and I promise you, I can't see his hand when he hit like enter or clicked on the mouse, but you could tell he immediately started laughing, and like he was really thrilled with that tweet. So.
I'm not gonna lie.
Link in the show notes to go check out the picture of me, CEO of 8020. You can go see that tweet. That's awesome. Also, can I just say, like, I don't know who is running Coda's marketing or their social, but it feels like it has gone up a notch lately. Yes. Like it is just
yes. It's from good.
Their content, how they engage, to even the design of some of the images and the work that they're doing. It's just next level. I love it. I already love Coda, so maybe I'm biased, but it's been really great. So props mm-hmm. to their team. I think it's super awesome. This isn't a tool we talk about here often, but Patreon is a tool that I know some no-code makers use to make some money or support things that they're building. And they just raised $155 million, like mind blown. So if you're also looking to build a no-code app, it looks like emulating this or Buy Me a Coffee might be a good option for you. The market is right. But I thought this was really cool to see Patreon get this kind of support. Pretty awesome. Link in the show notes if you want to go check out the YouTube video about it. All right. So now we enter the high school drama period of the roundup. If you're listening, you might be making guesses already, but Wix released the weirdest video we've ever seen. And that's saying something.
Weird.
Uncomfortably yeah. weird, because I've seen mass internet history. No, I'm joking.
Whoa. You cannot insult me like this when my mic's off and I'm least expecting it, okay? I want to cuss so bad right now.
I'm the CEO of 8020. I can do what I want.
Oh my god.
No. Wix has a link in the show notes. You can go watch this video. You've probably seen it. Where they say we've heard about this conversation, and then, you know, this actress sitting in a chair goes into this big long weird spiel about something that like I really don't know, no clue what they're talking about. But if you want the backstory and the backstory and the backstory, this is a giant feud that goes way back to where when Matt Mullenweg, who, you know, creator of WordPress, accused Wix of stealing code to build Wix, basically saying like they just... that Wix was WordPress, essentially. They just stole a large part of that. You know, Wix's CEO fired back that that's not true. You know, Matt's posted about how Wix does dirty tricks and keeps people from exporting their content. You know, Wix fires back. So what Wix did was they sent... was it Wix that sent the Bose headphones out?
Yes. Yeah,
it was. With the weird videos of... I think we have a link in the show notes to... we can get a link in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put it.
I've got... we'll add it.
Didn't Nelson get one?
Yeah.
I think so.
So
I think
weird.
So. And so you can see his video. So they sent this out, and then, of course, this started the drama all over again. So essentially what they sent out was a pair of headphones. You put them on and you would scan like a QR code. They sent these to different influencers, right? And you would watch it. And it was somebody who was purporting to be WordPress talking about all their issues and, you know, all that fun stuff. Quick video. So I guess they think by sending Bose headphones and making a weird video, you'd be like, yeah, forget right. WordPress. I know it powers like a third of the internet, but like, forget it. Like, I got these headphones. So, you know, and then you after know the, all of the, that, we get this video.
The funniest part of that is that some actual like engineers went into the source code and it revealed every person that they sent the headphones to in the source code of the website. So it's like, yo, if you're going to come at WordPress with a security issue, you cannot have your own security issues detailing every single person
sent
headphones to. And it was so funny because then Wix started getting dragged because it was like a list of all men and like one woman. So
it's shocker.
I know, right?
I know, right? First they're whitewashing us and now they're getting rid of all the women in tech too. So
I guess that's how Ben got your CEO spot. So they're getting rid of all of them.
I don't want to take shots at people, but it's like I bet the white guy's the CEO. No.
But yeah, I mean you cannot take shots at a company about their security, which was the open letter from Wix explicitly outlined that WordPress has security flaws, which I'm sure it does, but you can't do that and then also have a terribly done guerrilla marketing campaign. I mean, I guess you could. You do whatever you want, but that's a dumb idea, in my opinion.
The whole thing is weird. I mean, Lacey said this multiple times, but like, in my mind, Wix is not a tool that most pros pick up to use, right? So it's like a completely different... I guess I don't understand the beef because it's a completely different audience. The people who would pick up WordPress to make something aren't the people who are going to be using Wix and vice versa, I guess. I'm sure there's some overlap, you know, here and there, but I don't know. It feels weird to me, you know.
I think it's... probably shouldn't say all that I was thinking, but I think it to me.
Do you have the capacity to say anything with that smoky voice of yours?
I know. I think it's kind of childish to see two CEOs fighting like this in public when they run monstrosities of companies. It feels very childish to me, but entertaining, and it gives us content, so I'm not going to complain too much.
Ben, as the CEO of 80/20, would you start beef with another company?
At this point, I'd like to call out FinSuite. I'm going to take my shots.
On the record.
Joe, we're coming for you.
There's new 80/20 FinSuite beef, as per Ben, CEO of 80/20.
It's the new East Coast, West Coast rapper feud in the no-code community, FinSuite.
You know what's the weirdest thing to me about this is, like, I would assume somewhere here, Editor X comes into the play, into the mix. But no, there's like to compare Wix and WordPress is like a wild argument. To compare WordPress and Editor X is still a wild argument, but it's closer. In Lacey's words, I think they're what, like, Editor X is a hot dog or something like that. Can you clarify for us, Lacey, for the record?
As I've said before, there are lots of Wix people that follow me on Twitter now, and I am not certain of my safety, and so I will say nothing.
Well, let the record show, she called them like McDonald's or the hot dog company or something.
She said that WordPress or Webflow would be like steak, and Wix is like eating a hot dog. Like, why would you have that?
Y'all are butchering Y'all are butchering it. You're butchering because you know I have to do this. What I said was, why would I buy a steak from a hot dog company? That's what I said.
That's what you said, yes.
And there it is.
Oh, yes. My God.
It's weird to me. Like, I don't know. There are definitely a lot of people who use Wix and Webflow and other Bubble and other no-code tools who have left WordPress. There's no doubt. But there's also, let's not kid ourselves, WordPress is a huge part of the internet, right? Like, it powers so much of it. And so, I don't know. It just seems like Lisa said, it's a weird beef to be in. Like, what are we doing? It was weird to me that, like,
hot dog beef.
Well, it's like, it to me, it's like, why would WordPress even acknowledge, when you really thought that joke was funny? Like, she's literally like doubled over crying at her.
I think it's funnier that you didn't even acknowledge it with a pity laugh. You just went right over that.
Listen, I have worked at Webflow too long and heard too many dad jokes to stop whenever I hear them. You just have to power through, or you'll never make it.
Mom jokes, by the way. Thank you.
Classic Ben erasing your jokes.
Classic. But anyway, it really is. This whole thing was really weird. So if you've been following it, congratulations. Hopefully it's entertained you some. But we'll put some links in the show notes to some of these blog posts and shots back and forth if you want to catch up. So in case you saw some of those and you weren't sure what was happening, that's what's happening. So there is a digital agency called AWSM, and they released a blog post about how they built a profitable no-code side business with affiliate marketing. And this is a great read. I want to encourage you to read it. So at the top, they have the TLDR. Essentially, in the last 3 months, this site has generated about $30,000 for retailers. And they built this in Webflow using tools like JetBoost. And it's a great read. And there's a quote in the middle of this that I feel like really, it's from Gregory John, and it says, don't fall into the trap of launching multiple ideas just because you can. No code saves us an inordinate amount of development time, but we should use those gains to think about building a sustainable business, because at some point you need to turn your time into revenue. And it talks about how you can kind of get this rolling with no code and how they did it. And so this is a really great read. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, I highly recommend you give it a look and dive into it, because it's really great content. So link in the show notes if you want to give it a read. Also, Builder, we talked about how they're just open now to anybody, so you can kind of jump in and start building. And if you take place in the Micro Acquire Challenge, you can get a Builder Pro account for free. So the Micro Acquire Challenge is, link in the show notes if you want to see this, but it's anyone interested in a fun micro acquire challenge, maybe a 90 or 180 days from start to finish. If you build and sell a tiny company in public, this is the challenge. And if you do that using Builder, Mark said he's going to upgrade your Builder account to Pro for free for the 3 to 6 month build, which is really cool. I think that's really awesome. So anybody out there listening, link in the show notes if you want to check this out. There's a lot of laughing still happening in this room. And I think Matt's just out on Twitter looking at things. So I don't
know. No, no.
That's just my take.
Continue on. That's a tweet for later. I'm not in this episode.
I'm scared. Also, Michael Gill showed off how he built his calendar app in Builder. So link in the show notes if you want to go check that out. A lot of people talking about how awesome that video was and how impactful it was. So if you've been thinking about Builder, go check out this video. Give you a good glimpse at how people are building products with it. Software, they released a few things. They are releasing so many things. I feel like I can't keep up with them and list them all here. But they also... they're starting a Learn Airtable course because their product, you know, uses Airtable as a backend. They're teaching people how to use Airtable, which is really great. The first course is out now. So if you're interested, definitely go check it out. Link in the show notes if you want to go get started. Have you all seen No Codes? N-O-C-O-D-E, capital Z. No Codes. It's taking a different approach to building apps. And what this is essentially you can build an app with no code, but instead of doing it the traditional drag and drop way, what you do is you would write up a business case for your app, like a business. You'd write up a document. This is what it does. These are the users, all of that. It then takes the text and builds the app for you based off what you wrote. And then go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, do you know who's behind this?
Robots, clearly. No, I'm just kidding. Dang, I don't know. Pity laugh. Oh, that's painful. Oh, Lacey just stared at me. That was so painful. That was worse than Lacey's. Oh, no. I'm ashamed of myself. Any day that I perform at a lower bar than Lacey is a bad day.
That's every day, honey.
Oh god. Is it GPT-3? Like how's it powered?
Oh, I found who's behind it. Okay, never mind. I know of somebody they're 100% in the no code space, but a pretty large presence in the no code space working on something like this. I thought it was interesting.
This is a pretty cool concept. Like, don't drag and drop. And then you can go back and edit it as it builds it. But it's based off text, like it's based off of your writing instead of dragging and drop. So pretty cool. If you haven't seen it, definitely go check it out. Link in the show notes if you want to give it a look. I think they were the number one product of the day on Product Hunt recently. So worth a gander. BaseQL for Airtable is also something that caught my eye this week. And talking about shameful, I literally sent a tweet about BaseQL. Or no, a message about BaseQL in Slack to our podcast Slack. And these two didn't even respond. I didn't even get like an emoji response to this link.
You did not send us a message with this. I did not see this.
I did. I sent a link with this right here.
No.
When? Maybe I tweeted it. Maybe I tweeted it.
Don't you ever accuse us of such slander ever again.
I'm going to delete my entire Slack. But this is really cool. Basically, if you use – this is for people who are probably more technical. If you use GraphQL at all, this essentially helps you put a GraphQL on top of Airtable, make queries off of it. So if you use that for building any apps, very cool. Definitely check it out. Is anybody using Xano? X-A-N-O. I think that's how you pronounce it. I said booty base. Before, so I'm worried that maybe I got this wrong.
No. When you said it, it just sounds like, is anyone using Xanax? Like the drug? Why are things so closely named with like just weird names?
Matt, I don't know where you're at tonight, but it's awesome. And
thank you. I got out of the role of 80/20 CEO and I can just let it fly.
You can let it fly. You say whatever you want. Xano is like meant to replace two. So we have, there's like a pretty famous stack for building things, which is like Webflow, Airtable, Zapier, and MemberStack. And this would replace that with just Webflow or Webflow, MemberStack, and Xana. So it would replace Airtable and Zapier. It's a pretty neat tool. Lacey, have you given it a try yet?
I have. It's a very neat tool. I'm excited about it. I've talked with members of their team. They have an awesome team. And so I definitely think if you're looking for something like this, you should definitely check it out. It's actually pretty incredible what it can do. So
I watched the YouTube video. It's pretty neat because essentially, like how it works, it gives you the code snippets to build, and like you like kind of throw those into Webflow, and you can build your automation. It runs all your automation, so you don't need Zapier to do that. Instead of having an Airtable that you have to sync, it controls that. So it's got the automation and the back end there, and then it syncs everything between Webflow and then MemberStack. It's pretty interesting. I really enjoyed the video, and I plan on trying to give this a spin pretty soon and trying to build something with it myself. But if you haven't seen it, link in the show notes, you can go check it out. Here's some 80/20 news. I hired Jake, and the 80/20 team is growing. This joke never gets old.
What roles are you hiring, Ben, right now?
That's a good question. I need like 4 executive assistants.
That's true.
Just to kind of keep my calendar straight.
Did either of you see that 10x executive assistant tweet where it was like,
oh,
a person? That was so funny. Yes, executive assistants. I think you'd need one of those. You're a very hardworking person, Ben, you know.
And I'm going to hire a bunch of Webflow developers.
Oh boy.
You know, like we're hiring like nobody's business. So 8020.inc/careers/jobs. Do we have a jobs page? If not, we will soon. Don't worry about it.
I bet the Wix or WordPress CEOs are going to be looking for something soon if they don't get this stuff figured out.
I mean, funny enough, honestly, Ben gets credit for this hire. So it all kind of comes full circle. Long story short, I had a call with Ben last week. I pretty urgently needed to hire a role, and I was like, I gave him a call in like the middle of the day, and I was like, hey, like I need to hire, you know, a new head of business development to add to the team. And funny enough, this was when Ben and I were like running through names, and he was like, why don't you hire Jake? And for context, we've mentioned Jake on this podcast many times before. Jake is literally my next door neighbor. And when Ben told me this, I was like, oh my God, why on earth didn't I think of this? Like, he is literally a no-code expert. He knows Webflow, Parabola, Zapier. We do like, we geek out on no-code stuff all the time on the weekends. I was like, this is a perfect fit. And this is a mistake Jake made. He gave me his door code. And I just walked straight in the middle of the day. And I said, hey, Jake, do you want a job? And he accepted. And under a week, we got everything done. And it was so funny. He was like, hey, I'm about to leave. Like, I got to go get a haircut. And I was like, okay, do you want to work at 80/20? And he was like, what? And I had to tell him it was serious. I was serious because it was right around April Fool's Day. And it was not an April Fool's joke. So props to Ben. In fact, I think I called another friend of mine that day too, just for advice. And it's my buddy Hobbs. And Hobbs did not mention Jake, but Hobbs does not know Jake. And Jake explicitly said, these were his words. He said, F you, Matt and Hobbs, for not thinking of me. I owe Ben a beer. And so
I will gladly accept.
But yeah, I can't believe I didn't think of that. What a dumb decision on my part. But yeah, he's part of the team now. He actually officially starts the day this episode will come out. And we've been hacking away already. So it'll be a great fit. And I'm excited.
Me too. I'm excited for our 80-20 team.
Of course.
This never going to get old. And I'm excited for Jake.
Cool. We can never retire this joke. No.
I want to start I want a new podcast intro.
I'll get you a new hoodie.
Oh, yes. With I'm CEO right on the side. Yeah.
Never mind. I can't say the full sentence on
recording. and that is our no code roundup. So let's dive into our topic this week. We'll buzz right in. This is something that, honestly, if you could be in our Slack, you would just be so entertained when these things happened. Like, I literally thought somebody was hurt or going to the hospital or something terrible had happened, because these two were back and forth. Like, absolutely upset about it. I'm like, a notification after notification after notification. I'm like, what is happening? And then I see this tweet. I'm like, oh, yep, this warrants it. And so, link in the show notes if you want a little context. But Matt tweeted, tell me you want to be a gatekeeper without telling me you want to be a gatekeeper. And with an image of somebody's tweet, I'll let Matt, you want to drive from here? Tell us about this.
Sure. Yeah. This a-hole, in my opinion, James Mishra, he came out with this tweet that said, can't wait for the adorable, quote unquote, no code developers to slowly figure out unit tests, continuous integration, version control, branching and merging, metrics logging, indepotence, I don't even know what that word means, time zones, consistency and availability, character encodings, and back pressure. And it was like, oh man, there's a gatekeeping and then there's being a true just like D-bag. I'm doing my best not to cuss, which is why I'm shortening these. I instantly hate this person with all my heart. Like, if this person, I'm not even going to actually elaborate on that analogy. But I mean, talk about gatekeeping. Like, the whole point of no code is to help people, be able to build software, build websites, build their own products without having to go to school, learn computer science, or, you know, spend time at a boot camp or self-teach themselves. They can build whatever they want. They can validate an idea, all that fun stuff. And like, to be honest, no code platforms handle a lot of this stuff. That's the whole point. It's abstraction. Like, you have to be the dumbest boy in all the land to not understand this, in my opinion. I just hate gatekeepers with all of my heart. I think this is the stupidest tweet I've ever seen. But I mean, the thing is, this was not like I won't go on to the next one yet, but like, because I want to hear both of your takes on this. But like, there's like a whole slew of just like gatekeeping no code tweets that came out. And we'll talk specifically about Marco's quote tweet here in a little bit. But what do you two think about this initial tweet?
Yeah, good question. I hate gatekeeping too a lot. It really bothers me, and it's something that, I don't know, it's why I love the no code community, because you don't see it in our community. Like, you don't see other no code people saying, oh my gosh, I don't want that other no code person to do well, or I want to keep that other person out. I want to shut people out. In the no-code community, the reason I love it and the reason I think it's better than any other community on the internet is because when we see other people who are trying, who are doing their level best, who are, you know, trying to put out work or build things, we support one another. People make videos, people create content, people give away templates, people do a lot of that. I'm not saying that doesn't happen in the code community, because it does. But the gatekeeping is something that doesn't really happen in the no-code community, or at least I haven't experienced it to the degree that I experienced it here. And I think it doesn't shock me. I think that people who, I mean, honestly, you know, people who are coding applications, I mean, you put a lot of effort into learning all of that, and you feel like you have a skill set, and you feel like you're pretty special, I'm sure. Like, and yeah, like, that took a lot of work. But the whole point is to, you know, I think Vlad talks about this sometimes. He talks about how, like, you know, people couldn't mass produce content until the printing press came about. And it was like, oh, you know, And now, you know, then we had word processors and printers and people created zines, you know, which is funny to think about. And if you're not listening, Google, if you're listening to this and don't understand that, Google it. But like the ability for people to put out content on their own without being held back. And that's the whole point of no code, right? It's people who don't have the time to invest to learn to code, don't may not have the skills or the skill set to do that. Maybe their skill set's a designer and the abstraction lets them access this piece of technology and really take those steps. That's the whole point. And so it doesn't shock me that people who can do want to keep people who can't out. Like, I think that's a pretty common, it's a pretty common attitude. I don't know, Lacey, what do you think?
It's really disheartening to see. And I think that it's harder, especially if you're just kind of examining the space, to see like, oh, maybe like I wouldn't be welcome here because these people are talking about it, but they're like not in our community and they're not contributing and those sort of things. I'm also very self-conscious of my voice right now. So I'm like hesitant to talk too much, but beyond that, like just saying, I think it's really childish. And if someone goes online, intentionally takes time out of their day to put other people down, like let's link to BetterHelp below or some therapist. Like, I mean, that's just like, get help for that. I don't know. Like, why are you putting other people down who are learning to create and stepping into tech? Like, go about your day. Go on, you know?
I guess I've never understood why people like... Why do you care if you can do it? Why do you care that other people are being able to do it? Even if they, it makes me think, honestly, I have flashbacks to, it makes me think of, and if you're listening to this, you can roll your eyes. It makes me think about my relationship with my dad. I'll never forget growing up. He finished drywall. And so I would have to wake up at 4:30 AM and go help him finish drywall. I'll never forget, like, he had to spot nails and like walk stilts and like do all kinds of things. Right. And I would hold the drywall knife, mud and tape, all that fun stuff. And he would be like, no, you don't hold the knife that way. You hold it this way. And I would say, okay, but when I hold it that way, like I don't like I, it looks awful. Like I'm doing a terrible job. But when I hold it my way, it works. And he'd be like, no, hold it the right way. And so he would rather me do a terrible job and hold the knife his way than build it my way. It's immediate flashback for me. It's like, oh, you want me to spend all this time, put all this effort into like going to a coding boot camp or researching this, build it with code, move really slowly because it's the quote unquote only way, when people have these tools that they can pick up and they can use them their way and create things pretty quickly. You know, I don't understand why you would care. Like if you can do it yourself, why do you care? Why are you trying to keep other people from doing it? Really, to me, it makes me pretty angry too. And if we could cuss on this podcast, I'd probably have a few choice words because it's super infuriating and egotistical, I think. So
very, very egotistical. And it was amazing. So I think that tweet came out, and then Josh Pigford, that was the tweet that I was looking for in the beginning, Ben. I think that's his name, Josh Pigford.
I'll find it.
Yeah. I don't remember what it was.
I unfollowed him because of that.
Really?
I just like his stuff, and that was just irritating to me. I'm just tired of all the, gosh, we're not going to be able to bleep. I'm tired of all the intellectual self-serving that's happening on Twitter as it relates to their perspective on no code.
I can't remember what it was. I didn't like his tweet, but it was less, the thing that pissed me off so much about James's tweet was how patronizing it was. Like, oh man, just talk about like, if you really want to show that you want to feel smart, like look no further than James. And James, if you just so happen to listen, I have linked to help for you in the show notes. I think that it's just like looking, like seeing gatekeepers like this, it's just like people just want to feel superior. I feel like that's what a lot of this boils down to. But going to Josh's tweet, Josh had a tweet about it. It felt kind of gatekeepy. I think Peter Levels, the Nomadless guy, quote tweeted that. That was like another piece. So like that came out. And then Just recently, when we were all kind of planning about the episode, we stumbled upon our good friend Marco's tweet, which if you don't know Marco, I will put in the show notes our link to our episode, our interview with Marco. Marco's awesome. He's a designer at a company called Command Dot. And he quote tweeted someone that was like, where is that tweet at? Do you guys have it handy?
Yeah, the Marco's tweet. Marco quoted Austin Bird, which was Austin said he was talking about a web no-code tools, and he said Webflow is awful. But it's one of the topics that has a very vocal minority because many designers saw a billboard and decided to sink endless hours into learning how to create a div in a new system. And then to go with that, if we go to Josh's tweet that we mentioned. In the time you spent hacking all your no-code tools together, you could have just learned to actually code. And here's the funny part. No, you couldn't have. Clearly, Josh hasn't used no-code and is out of his depth because the truth is I know plenty of people who picked up no-code tools and in hours launched things, in just a matter of days launched things, when it's like, yeah, I'm not going to learn JavaScript or React or Rails or any of this in just a couple of days and be able to, you know, launch a product or spit out a product that I'm going to be really happy with and really have been able to build it in a quality way and not in that amount of time. For me, it's lack of perspective and not understanding that not everybody has the skills or the opportunities that you've had. And so this is the way that they have to move forward and to be able to create and to be a maker.
I think this, like, the really dumb thing here is, like, and I guess I have, like, a position where I get to see a lot of no-code tools and I get to talk to a lot of people. Actually, you get to talk to a lot of people as the CEO of 80/20. But, like, I've talked to legitimate companies that have their entire platform. They're doing 10 million ARR a year, and they're entirely on no-code platforms. And so it's like, yeah, sorry, like, you could code it, but, like, I'm sure they have better margins right now doing it with no code. Now, that said, they're moving to we had a conversation. And I was like, hey, I think you should move away. But like they got to 10 million ARR on no code tools. Like we're talking Airtable, Webflow, Zapier, like that setup. So it's just insane to me when people tweet stuff like this that clearly have no idea what they're talking about. But going back to Marco's tweet, I mean, like that man was so smart. Like, I'm a big fan of Marco, but he was just like putting my no code cape on to once again say that not everyone has the time, energy, or resources it takes to learn how to code. One of the tweets below it says these are the type of highbrow gatekeeperish takes that exist only to make the experience feel important and secure in what they do or know how to do. And it was a hat tip to Webflow for helping people be able to build SaaS products. I mean, I know Marco uses Webflow at Command Dot to work on the core product. So like, I don't know, just I rarely get like very heated on this podcast, but man, this makes me so pressed.
But the other part of it is Lacey's making a face at Matt saying he rarely gets heated.
He gets heated.
No.
Let me take a shot at Notion and then let's watch you get heated. No.
We're moving on. Actually you are moving off.
We're moving to Coda.
We're moving to ClickUp.
We're moving to Coda.
Well,
I'm
we'll
the
see.
CEO. I'm in charge.
There we go.
It's me. I guess my thing is like when you look at things like this, I don't understand why engineers care anyway, right? Like if you ask most engineers like who are building products, at least in my mind, conversations I've had, they get no joy on taking time out of the product and going and building a marketing site. Like they don't, this is why marketing teams have such a hard time. They're like, I need to make this change on the marketing site. And it's like, yeah, 2 weeks because we're building the product. They don't want to stop building the product to go do this. So why would you hate a tool that lets you focus on things you like to do and lets people who can build like handle that part of the process? To me, it's just so backwards. And I don't know that I'll ever understand it.
I think it's the most insecure and the crappiest engineers that are going to be the most vocal about being. I'm like,
Matt, tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, I know, right? I think people that are mediocre at their jobs are going to feel pressed about this. And like, that's my take.
Fire. I love that. I do think it's, I think it's, I, like I said, I think it's lack of perspective. And I do think that you're right. I think people who aren't good at what they do, or people who just, they worry about other things. Also people, I guess, who are bored. Like if it's like people who have time to go like gripe about a technology that they don't use and aren't interested in. I don't know. It's like me going and griping about, like, I don't know, pick anything, throw a dart at the wall. Ableton Live. I don't produce music. What do I care? Like, I, you know, I don't know, like going and ranting about these different things. Get a hobby. Go play a video game or write another blog post or like whatever. Spin up your 17th blog in Netlify or whatever it is that you're wanting to do. That's great. And you can make another YouTube video about it, and I'm sure we'll all love it. But like, you know, save that hot take for somebody else or for somewhere else, and like do something positive with your time, which, you know, which we're clearly not doing right here because we're focusing on the negative. But it really is frustrating to see people hate on no coders. And so for all of you people who are out there who are makers, no coders, you know, just ignore the hate. Keep on being awesome, doing cool things. So. I don't know. Any final words from either of you?
The words that I want to say, I cannot say without us having to edit this podcast. So, no.
You make me feel like I'm some sort of like terrible parent.
You are. You are.
I'm like, I'm You're, going to my room. You don't let me do what I want.
Yeah, you are. You're the, what's the department at actual TV production companies? Is it standards and production or standards and procedures or something like that?
Standards and practices.
Standards and practices, yeah. That prevents you from saying, you are my real life standards and practices office. That prevents me from saying that's words true. On there.
I don't like what you have to say, Matthew. Can't let it happen.
Don't ever call me by my government name again.
Okay, Matthew. Listen, we have to. I'm the CEO. I can say what I want, and this joke never gets
old. I love this joke so much.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening, for hanging out. Hope you enjoyed the talk on the episode and the no code roundup. And I hope you enjoyed being able to hear us in a higher quality, especially Lacey in that smooth smoker's voice.
Hey.
We'll be back next week with another episode. More great content coming. But thanks for hanging out, and we'll see y'all later. Bye.
Deuce. Get out of here.
Thanks for listening to visualdev.fm. You can find us on your favorite social media platform at visualdevfm.